And we're going to stand on the promises. How do you like that? Here we go.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear us, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I can see, perfect prayer cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
All right, you may be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. We have a few more back from our COVID excursion problem here back a couple weeks ago, and it's good to see you back. And we have some more that I've talked to this week that are they're going to play it cool and take off one more week. And I say, well, okay, do that, and then let's get back to normal again. It's a fight. It is. So let's not let Satan use it. I'm not saying it's of Satan. It's because we have it is sin. It ought to cause us to hate sin more. Because of the third chapter of Genesis, we have these problems to put up with. If I had known that back when I got my first cold, I would have fought that cold a little bit more. But it's just one of those things, folks, we're going to have to put up with. It's here, and it's going to be here. Let's just do the best we can and keep moving on. Just stay faithful to the Lord. That's all I got to say about that. Do want you to come back tonight, though. This is our fifth Sunday night, and as you know, for the last couple of years, we've had our hands full trying to have our fifth Sunday night. Well, we're going to have fifth Sunday night singing tonight. If I have to sing a whole concert, we're having our fifth Sunday night singing tonight. So all you who sing, you come ready and prepared to sing tonight, okay? And we'll have a good time. I've always enjoyed those. In fact, I remember the last one we had was one of the best ever. So please come back tonight at 6 o'clock and let's enjoy some good old singing. I've talked to some folks who go to other churches or another church, and they're not going to be having a service there tonight, and they're coming here to hear some good singing. So you got to get back in here and sing. I told them this was the best singing they'll ever hear. So you got to get them back, okay? Let's see. If you're visiting, I need a card. If you haven't filled one out already, do that now and drop it in the offering plate, and we'll welcome you to the church, Jimmy. Okay. Just checking with him. If our ushers would come forward, we'll receive our morning offering. John, if you would, please bless this offering.
Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for this time that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you've given to us. Now bless the ones that wanted to be here and they couldn't for some other reason. Bless us through the rest of the remainder of the service, Lord, this week.
Amen.
Right now, I feel a little overwhelmed. Right now, I could really use some help. Right now, I don't feel like it is well with my soul. I've tried to find help. a way around the mess. I've prayed in faith that the night would end right here when I just can't understand. I lift my hands. Hallelujah. When the storm is relentless, hallelujah. When the battle is endless, in the middle of the in-between, in the middle of the questioning, over every worry, every fear, hallelujah, even here. Hallelujah, even here. Somehow I bow and my heart gets free. Too far, too hard becomes so easy. I find peace here in surrendering, in letting go. Hallelujah. When the storm is relentless, hallelujah. When the battle is endless, in the middle of the in-between, in the middle of the questioning, over every worry, every fear, hallelujah, even here. Hallelujah, even here. Sometimes nothing left to give. Oh, becomes the sweetest offering. And sometimes choosing just to sing is the thing that changes everything. Hallelujah. When the storm is relentless, hallelujah. When the battle is endless, in the middle of the in-between, in the middle of the questioning, over every worry, every fear, hallelujah, even here. Hallelujah, even here. Hallelujah, even here.
Can y'all say hallelujah? Yeah. Do you believe he's here? He is. Well, I think he promised us, didn't he? He'd never leave us nor forsake us, not even to the end of the age. Every one of us has had a moment in our time, in our life, where we felt like we've been left alone, right? I'm one of the worst at trying to make it look like I've never been felt that way, you know, but I have. And good to see my boys. Okay. Jimmy, Angie, so good to have you with us. It is. And if you notice that one of your buddies sitting next to you is not here today, give them a call this next week and let them know that you missed them and that you're praying for them. And we'll eventually get everyone back in inside the walls. If you have your Bibles handy, you could turn to Nehemiah chapter 5. If you don't, Scott, I'm sure, will have those words on the board. We're going to read the scriptures together, and then we're going to go back and look at them verse by verse and learn something from it. You probably are wondering how in the world you could preach a 30-minute message, or for some of you hoping for a 20, how you could do that on the subject of selfishness. Well, the whole title of my message wasn't in the bulletin. It was in the paper, but it wasn't in the bulletin. It is a fight with selfishness. It is about selfishness, but it is a fight with selfishness. If you don't see the fight, you'll miss the selfishness in our country, in our world. It's prevalent, folks. It is. So if you are ready, we'll read this together. By the way, Scott, if you would pull up Joshua 1, 6, and 7 when I get there. That'll be later, okay? Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Let's read this together. Y'all remember me preaching in this same area a couple weeks ago, Nehemiah? You know, Nehemiah worked on a wall. Do y'all remember that? He was a wall builder. A good one, too. A real good one. Well, he got that all fixed. He did. It's amazing. It's kind of like human beings everywhere. We get things fixed one place and something's tore up in another. Just can't ever get it right, can we? We mess things up, folks. We do. But isn't it good that you have a God in heaven who looks down and he has a forgiven spirit and he takes care of it right away? No waiting period, by the way. No waiting period. When you go to him and you ask for forgiveness for a wrong in your life, he does it immediately, takes care of it. Now let's look and see what's going on in chapter 5. Because what's going on in chapter 5 wasn't outside the walls like it was before. What's going on chapter 5 is inside the walls. And there was a great cry of the people and their wives against the brethren, the Jews. So now we know it's inside, don't we? It's with the brethren. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many. Therefore, we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Sounds like they were having some financial problems. Sounds like they were having some famine-style problems. Wasn't a total famine because the people who are doing this are the poor. The rich aren't crying this. The people who have aren't crying this. This is a people who don't have. Some also were that said, we have mortgaged our lands. Now this will come home to you. You think things have changed in a couple thousand years? Not really. We're still mankind. We're still human. And we still have those same old problems. He said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. We've been told that there's a shortage of food on shelves because we have a problem getting them by ship or truck or whatever we're doing. We're having a problem getting stuff there. And in some areas, we're having problems getting the things we normally have gotten from other countries. We just can't get everything together right now. We're having a problem, aren't we? Well, they were having a problem here. And the poor folks were trying to live. There were also, in verse 4, there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute. Now this was to pay directly to the government. Most of them who were in that were living really good, just like ours do too. But taxation was a big deal. They were paying taxes, high taxes, for the king's tribute. King was getting richer. And that upon our lands and vineyards. They borrowed the money just like they did for the other one, to pay the tax money. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren. Something wrong here, he's saying. Now, I'll keep reading here in a minute without talking. He's saying, something's wrong here. We were supposed to be of the same. We were supposed to be one of those. The only time Tom answers and he got it wrong. Those. We're one of those, right? We liked being one of those when I preached on that subject. You liked being one of those, didn't you? I do too. Well, that's what they're trying to tell these folks. We're one of you. We're of the same skin. We are. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of the brethren, our children as their children. Your children might come from rich parents, mine come from poor parents. It doesn't make any difference where you come from. Our children are children. Have you ever noticed that kids never recognize that? Kids start recognizing that when they get up toward high school and they've been taught that by listening and hearing things, you know, that are said by parents and everything. They start recognizing, well, there's a difference here in that we have and they don't have. But kids don't recognize that in the beginning. I never, ever thought that I was poor. And my dad was a Free Will Baptist preacher. You tell me he wasn't poor. I can tell you he was. Worked hard, hard-working man. Was a successful pastor, good preacher, good man. But he wasn't rich. But he was. But he was. But our children are as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought into bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them. We're helpless. For other men have our lands and vineyards. They took them. Now we get into the message. I'll take you back there in a minute, but now I got to read. I got to keep reading and not say anything, because then I got to come back and do the message. Y'all going to be here till 1 o'clock if I don't. And so Nehemiah says, "And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. Then I consulted with myself." It's a good one. "And I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brethren, and usury, and I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we after our own ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold into the heathen, and will ye even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer." He said, would you do the same thing you've done to us? Would you do the same thing with your people? Would you sell your people into slavery? Would you want your kids taken out of your home and put into slavery? Would you want that? They had nothing to say. "Also I said, it is not good that ye do aught. Ye ought not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies. I likewise, and my brethren, and my servants, might exact them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off the usury. Restore, I pray you, to them even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses, also the 100th part of the money." That means all of it back. "And of the corn and the wine and the oil that ye exact of them." Then said they. He evidently got his message across. Because here's what he said. They said. "Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priest and took an oath of them, that they should do according to this promise. Also I shook my lap and said, so God shake out every man from his house and from his labor, and performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, amen." I like it, don't you? They recorded a congregation saying amen. Y'all don't know how pretty that is to hear a congregation saying amen together. I don't either. "And praise the Lord, and the people did according to this promise." Let's bow our heads. Thank the Lord for this. Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful that you've brought us back together this morning so that we can, in your word, learn the truths that make our lives better. And Lord, if we're not selfish with what you give us, we can make other lives better. And we praise you, Lord, for whatever you're going to do here in this service this morning. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Selfishness is not only ugly, it's just downright wrong. It's not a word we like to even associate with ourselves, right? Most of the time when we hear this word, it has to do with children not wanting to share their toys or their candy. Is selfishness a bigger problem than a kid not wanting to share their toys or their candy? Oh, yeah. It's huge. When it gets into the lives of adults, it gets really big. It does. So here's the reason it is. Because selfishness is not only keeping, selfishness is taking. Because taking was what they were doing. It wasn't that they were keeping their candy and their toys. It was that they were taking from others. Because you see, the definition for selfish is this: concerned excessively or exclusively with oneself. You're concerned about you, nobody else. Whatever the issue is, maybe not all the time, maybe just every once in a while. Doesn't make any difference. When it shows its ugly head, it's ugly, right? It's ugly. Now that's part of the definition. Here's the rest of it. Concentrating on one's own advantage. We all like to get the advantage, don't we? You know, if you're a sports fan and they talk about home field advantage, we love home field advantage because you have all your fans there and they're screaming and hollering and cheering them on, and everything's great when you have home field advantage. Well, we all struggle for home field advantage because that's a human trait to have. But when you concentrate on your own advantage, your own pleasure, your own well-being, without regard for others, you're selfish. Oh, that would have been a great one for a congregation to say. But you see, I understand the quietness because I understand God speaking. I'm not your average preacher who goes from end to end without taking a breath. I take breaths. I have to. I have to keep breathing. Are you with me? So you're listening, right? That was a place where you say right. You know, if you got someone on the phone and it's one of these automated things and you've got to say yes, no, right, and wrong, you know, or something, you got to say something or they'll say, did you get that? So I'm going to say, did you get that? Okay, now let's keep moving, because he's talking to us about being selfish or not being selfish. Now here the rich are rebuked for taking advantage of the poor through extortion. Now, you don't want to be called an extortionist, right? Because an extortionist takes by power of position or government, take what does not belong to you. That's a good way to put it. We don't like extortion. Well, Nehemiah had just got everything fixed from the enemy coming inside the walls and tearing up Jack with his people from the outside. Now he's going to have to take care of now the problem from within. Selfishness is a within problem. You've got to fix your own selfishness. Now, can you be angry at another person's selfishness when you see it? You certainly can. You certainly can. And not only certain you certainly can, you certainly ought to. Because it's a righteous thing. It's a good thing or a right wrong thing. It's wrong. And we ought to be there. So those first five verses that we read earlier, they tell us what happened here. The people's cries and complaints came to Nehemiah's ears, and he said, I don't like the sound of that. I hear my people crying. I hear my people hollering. I hear the pain in their hearts. I hear the pain in their souls. Sometimes we got to hear more than words, folks. We've got to hear some hearts. We've got to hear the pain rather than without the words. And Dean is not here this morning, but one of my best illustrations, that is Deanie Jones. When her son passed away, their son passed away, and Deanie called me. Lord, I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that mother's wail, the sound of the pain of that mother's heart. I couldn't concentrate on a word she was saying because I heard the pain in her heart. And we've got to start doing that. We've got to start hearing some things. We've got to say, Lord, make me sensitive enough that I don't just hear words. I hear the pain in the hearts of people. The poor with large families trying to get some food for their family. That's what he's saying here in these five verses. Corn, he used the word corn. Corn would have meant any kind of food, but it was corn in this case. And I kind of like that because I'm a corn eater. If it's got corn in it, I'm going to eat it. Right? Love corn. Love corn on the cob. Goodness gracious, I look like a typewriter when I'm eating corn on the cob. But they were wanting corn. They were wanting food, and they were trying to get it. Others had borrowed money. I'll just kind of rehash this just for a second. Others had borrowed money and put their lands and their houses up as collateral to buy food. How would you like to do that? You need food for next week, so I'm going to put my house up so I can borrow enough money to go buy some food. Well, the old folks back before now, would have said, don't ever charge food or gas. Right? You do, you're in trouble. If you have to charge, because they used to have jot them down stores, you know, and poor folks would go in, and the people who owned the stores went out too because people who wanted them jotted down never got around to paying them. Don't charge food or gas. That's what it'd say. So they were putting up their houses to try to have food. Some had borrowed money just to pay the taxes for the elite. But not only were they borrowing money to pay this, the people that they were borrowing the money from hit them with such high interest rates that they could never get it paid back. When I was young, I never understood that, and they never taught it very well in high school. I don't think they still teach it very well now, to be honest with you. I think we need to get kids to see this before they ever get out of high school, that when you go to get a credit card, better look at how much interest they're charging you, because you get a couple $100 on there, and you'll be 15, 20 years paying that off. If you have a $300 thing, you'll pay $1,500 to pay that $300 back. That's just a figure I threw out there to you. Just hope you caught how big it is. But that's exactly what happened. But that's what's happening to them. They borrowed the money to charge high interest rates. Folks were in a bind. Things were so bad, all they knew to do was cry out. I've got to have some help here or else I might as well die. They were selling their children. There's a time or two I'd sell one of mine. Selling their children, folks. That's unheard of. You don't sell your children. And the workers around the farm, you don't sell your workers. That could take you back into slavery. I'm not going into that subject, but that's exactly where you could get into. Yeah, slaves haven't always been black. Slaves have been white. Slaves have been people who have been sold. It doesn't matter your skin color. It doesn't. It's wrong. It's dead wrong. But they were selling their children and their servants. Now, when you see the wrongs done to people, and you have your eyes open and you see wrongs being done to people because of selfishness, How does it affect you? Because this a message has to be taken in for me individually, or else it does no good. You can pass it on to the next pew. You can do whatever you want to with it. If you don't internalize that, it will not change who you are and what you are. But the Word of God is here today to change us. So when you see that, how does it affect you? Okay, now that you've thought about that, let's get back to Nehemiah. Because for Nehemiah, it was just anger. And I don't mean just anger. I mean just anger. Right anger. Righteous anger. That's what it was for him. So to be a person who understands and portrays righteous anger inside of us, to me that says that you are right with God. In other words, the Bible would use the word upright. You are an upright person. Not talking about a citizen. You know, we have some upright citizens who are lauded for a lot of different things in this life. Not going there, because that's not where we are. I'm talking about being upright with God. I'm talking about being upright in your own life. So Nehemiah said this. He said, I was very angry when I heard their cry. Not just anybody. These were his people. Don't you know that when I hear the pain in your heart, that bothers me? Because you're my people. This congregation of people is my people. When we can't all be together and this thing has affected us, I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. I have sensitive things going on inside me just like you do. And it bothers me. And you say, well, you're supposed to trust the Lord. I do trust the Lord. And I'm sure that in the long run, he'll take care of everything. But we all get frustrated with the way things are going sometimes. And he was there when he heard their cry, and it bothered him because he saw in his right mind, he saw the wrong being done. When right and wrong clash, there's going to be a problem. As Christians, we're Christian. If you're not today, you need to think about where you are with the Lord. You need to know that you have Jesus Christ as your Savior through repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin so that you can be right with God. Need to think about that really hard, because now in this message, we're talking about people who are Christians who are where they are. As Christians, our convictions, because Christians have convictions. If you're a Christian, you have them. They ought to be pure. They ought to be more than surfacey. They ought to be deep inside us. Convictions ought to be something that's not just something you can move off of your lips and it's gone. But it ought to be something that drives us to indignation of what's going on in this life that we live. At the greed of others. Now, I know there's not any greed in our country right now. Oh, there is. So I'm hearing some sounds. I didn't hear many words, but I heard some sounds there, okay? And I agree with you. But as we as Christians, we profess to be Christians, that's exactly where we ought to be. We ought to know that things are going on that are wrong, and we ought to be hating it. Now, what do we do? You say, well, there's nothing I can do. Well, yes, there is. Yes, there is. And now let's see what else old Nehemiah did. You see, the anger of the righteous man at rampant wrong, and it is rampant, folks. It is rampant. It's not just a little spot here and there. Sometimes it's overwhelming to hear how wrong this world is. This world is. We've heard for some time about a one-world government. Well, if you've got an open eye, you can see that's exactly where it's evolving into. We as Christians need to understand we have a responsibility to God himself to fight this, because in this one world government is going to be more selfishness taken from those who can't help themselves to make the ones who can much bigger and fatter and wealthier and everything. It's going that way. Those who were selfish were the people who were supposed to be exalting God. We're not talking about people outside the church. We're not talking about people that never come to church. We're talking about people now in our day. We're talking about people who come to church. Churches are full of people who are taking advantage of other people in a selfish manner and causing people harm, causing people pain, causing people suffering, inside people inside the churches, folks. I know that's a statement that leaves you, I don't know what to do. You've threw too much on me here and I don't know what to do. Yeah, we do. We know the person we go to. Because see, these people were people who were supposed to have been exalting the name of God, and in reality, they were dishonoring the name of God. That's what Nehemiah got angry at, because that was his God. When we see people doing wrong, they're not just doing wrong to people, they're doing wrong to God. And that's where our anger, our righteous anger should come in, is that they were doing wrong toward him. And that's where Nehemiah was. He was an upright man who saw this and it made him angry. Says he did. He was honest, wasn't he? And for Nehemiah, he had the courage, look at verse 7 again, he had the courage to rebuke. And here's what it says, since you don't have your Bibles open still, I'm going to read it again. Then I consulted with myself. Sometimes I do that and I get more confused. But sometimes it's important that you consult with yourself. You need to know where you stand on the subject. Don't pass it off on anybody else. Know where you stand. So he did that. He said, I consulted with myself and I rebuked the nobles, the higher-ups. I rebuked the nobles and the rulers and said unto them, ye exact usury, every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. He was just saying what he did. He came out against them. If he'd had a protest sign, he'd have carried it that day. And it would have been a big one. And he'd probably had him one of those fog horns or those horns where you shout loud what you're going to say. That would have been what he was doing. That's where he was at on this particular thing. Because he said, then I rebuked the nobles and the rulers. Courage in the name of God. This wasn't in Nehemiah's name. And if you get angry at wrongs being done to other people, you're not doing that because of you. Nehemiah was doing this because he knew who he was in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's where we need to know where we are. So in the name of God, it was absolutely necessary that he rebuke this selfish spirit that he saw in these people, in those that claim to be Christians. Jesus Christ is your Savior, and we still do stuff like this. It's a dishonoring God, and it ought to make us angry. And if it makes us angry at that situation, we certainly ought to make sure it doesn't come up in our own personal lives. Because this is where I wanted to bring you to the scripture that you're familiar with in Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Scott will put that up on the board. You don't have to turn to it. In Joshua 1, 6, and 7, he said this. Here's what a Christian ought to be. Be strong and of good courage. You say, well, that's Old Testament. That's not talking about Christians. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Stand up for what I said. You don't have to stand up for what you say. Stand up for what I said. When I preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, I'm standing on what he said. I couldn't stand on what I said. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Moses was strong enough to give it. He says, now you be strong enough to live it. Because it's all about me. That's what God's saying here. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Don't wibble wobble. I think that's some characters that kids play with. Wibble wobble. But that's what we do as Christians. We wibble wobble. He says, don't turn to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You want to prosper in your Christian life? Then don't waver. Stay according to the word of God. Stick with it and go with it. That's where Nehemiah was. He wasn't a wibbler wobbler. Those aren't real words, but you know what I mean, right? He wasn't shaky in the wind. He was a courageous man who fought for what was right. Then in verse 8, he says, and I said unto them, we after our own ability have redeemed our brethren the Jews. He's doing something about it. Not only was he angry. By the way, if you're going to get angry about something, do something about it. And I don't mean in a bad way. I've been angry in my own human nature, and I did the wrong thing most of the time. I remember some of those times. It makes me angry at myself sometimes, the way I handle certain situations in my life, because it was my own anger. It wasn't a righteous anger. But here he says, and I said unto them, we after our abilities have redeemed our brethren the Jews. We did something about it. The ones which were sold to the heathen, we bought them back. That's big, isn't it? We bought them back. We were bringing them back in. He had an unselfish spirit. We've got to have an unselfish spirit. I don't mean that we can say we're not selfish. We've got to have an unselfish spirit. Then you don't have to say anything. You don't have to claim that you're not selfish. It'll show that you're not selfish in what we do. And that's where he wants to be. And will ye even sell your brethren? He's talking to them. Will you even sell your brethren, or shall they be sold unto us? Then they held their peace and found nothing to answer. So he was an unselfish man. He was redeeming as many as he could, those of the brethren who had been sold. Don't you know that made them happy? All those under heathen influence. And if you'll look real close in this day and age we live in right now, you'll see people who are under heathen influence. I'm going to let you think for just a moment about heathen influence. A lot of people are under heathen influence. Do you see it? If you see it, how does it affect you? We should be willing not just to give of our time and ourselves, but we should be willing to give of our
money.
Oh, I had a hard time saying that. You know, sometimes people don't want to hear you talking about giving their money. It's not your money. It's his money. It's his money. It's always been his money. How you got in contact with it, give him praise and glory, because it's all about him. It belongs to him. If you think about it being yours, you're going to be devastated when it's gone. Right? Because you, wait, that was mine. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. See, I can give away your money real easy. Yeah. Giving mine away would be real hard, but giving yours away would be real easy. So why don't you just consider it his money, because it is his money, and let's do that. Because you know what? He'd say the same thing. Go ahead and give it away. I don't care. It's mine. I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. I've got the rest of it. I got plenty of that. Don't worry about it. Go ahead. That's where Nehemiah was here. He was an unselfish man. He had an unselfish spirit. It was bothering him that his people were crying out, but he knew where he stood. And we need to give of everything we can give of to make sure that people know Jesus Christ is their Savior, and they have a nice building like this to come together and worship him with. This is all about God's work, folks. It's not about us at Liberty Fellowship. It's not. I am thankful that we're able to be here together. But it's all about him. Verse 9 and 10, look at that. Also I said, it's not good that you do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies? Ought ye not to do that, he said? Well, they would have to say, oh yeah, probably. Yeah, you're probably right. I likewise, and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off the usury. He's saying, there's no need for us to take their houses. There's no use for us to take their vineyards, their land, and we don't have to charge the interest. We don't. We're killing our people. When people just want to add on tax after tax after tax, they're only thinking about their agenda. They're not talking about the agenda of the person they're taking the money from. Nehemiah had some good stuff here, folks. He did. So he had what I would call in verse 9 and 10 a holy jealousy, because he was jealous about his people. But it was a holy jealousy. It wasn't personal, in other than the fact it did make him reach out and cry out that they were doing them wrong. When men defame us, how does it affect? Does it cut me to the bone when men defame me? I like me. I see a couple smiles. You like you? Why wouldn't you? You're fabulous people. Wonderful people. That's all I know. I don't know the rest. You'll have to answer the rest, okay? But what did he say? I looked at myself. I asked myself. I talked to myself. That's what he was saying. But when men defame you, knowing that we are the way we are, does it affect you deeper than when a person defames our Lord? What bothers us more? When somebody goes against what God has set up to be right and they're doing it wrong, does that bother us more than somebody coming directly at us and they're hurting us or defaming us? Folks, this is good stuff for tomorrow, next day, and next day. Okay. Let's get into the last three verses. You want to do that? I do. All it don't, you can leave right now because I'm getting into it. Right? Verse 11, 12, and 13. Here's what happened. He wanted to complete the job. That's what he wanted. He wanted to complete the job. Restore, I pray you. Restoration. Don't you just love restoration? I see stuff all the time I'd love to restore. I don't have the ability. I'd have to ask Jimmy to do some of it. I don't have the ability to restore a lot of things, but boy, I see a lot of things that need restoration. And it hurts me sometimes when I see things in the church that need restoration, and we do. At times there are things in the church that need to be restored. And that's good. That's fine. You say, well, really? You mean you're admitting that things need to be restored? Why? Yeah. We admit it because that's exactly what happens. He says, restore, I pray you, to them even this day their lands. Give it back to them. You see, what he's going to do here now is he wanted to not just cut the job off there and say, well, you guys are kind of coming my way now. I'm glad to hear that you're coming around. So we've been successful. Let's go home now. Go home and eat our good supper. We'll kill the fatted calf, and we'll eat a good supper. Come on, let's cut it off. And he wasn't there. He wasn't there yet, folks. And sometimes we cut it off too short. We do. We cut it off too soon. I think we ought to think more thorough than that. We ought to be like the man who went to get a job, and they had part-time and full-time jobs, and they said, how long do you want to work? He said, I want to work till you get through. Y'all didn't get that, did you? They were asking him, do you want part-time or full-time? He said, I want to work till you get through. Huh? Yeah. Well, we ought to be the same way with our life with the Lord. I want to work till you get through, Lord. I'm not going to quit. You going to quit? I can't quit. You say, can I keep up the pace? No, but I ain't quitting. Amen. Restore, I pray you, to them even this day their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Give it all back to them. Also the 100th part of the money. Come on, let's just do it all. Not just their lands. Give them back their money. And of the corn, yeah, give it back, give it, take it. Get the wine, give them oil. All these things that you exacted from them, the things you took, give it back. Who was that tax collector that gave everything back? Yeah, the little man, the wee little man. Y'all know the wee little man. He got right. Are you with me? That tickles me sometimes when I know what I said. He got right. When he got right, he knew he couldn't keep what he had taken. He knew he had to give it back. Then said they, I like this. I'm going to give them a little bit of credit right here, if that's okay, in the name of the Lord. Then said they, we will restore them and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Because what he was saying was what God was saying. They knew that. They knew that. They knew the Old Testament scriptures. They had them in their hands. They went into synagogues every week and worshiped in there as best they could while they were taking things from the poor people. But they knew right and wrong. Sometimes we continue to go doing wrong things and we know we're doing the wrong. And we somehow or other let it go by till it eats us away, till one day we break down and say, God, why did I keep on doing that when I should have been taking care of it and repenting of it? Then I called the priest and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. In other words, he said, I'm going to hold you to your promise. I'm going to hold you to it. We're going to do it, right? Because see, he's still representing God. He never represented himself. Never. And you're never representing yourself when you come from God's word. You're representing God himself. And Nehemiah was doing that. Also, I shook my lap and said, so God, shake out every man from his house. Shake everybody's life up, Lord. Let's all get back together at the same time. And from his labor that performeth not this promise, even thus be he shaken out and emptied. Did I say he was doing the job completely? He was thorough. Nothing bothers me more than to see somebody who claims to be a worker, a finished carpenter or something like that, and you go in and see the job they did, and there's cracks and things aren't even, you know. Y'all know, I can't do that stuff, but boy, do I know when it's not, doesn't look right, you know. But if I did it, it would look like that. I know that. But I don't claim to be that, so I don't do that. But he says, I want to empty this thing. I want to be thorough. I want to be complete. He was as thorough as he could be. He said, thus he be shaken out and emptied, and all the congregation said, Amen. Amen. And I want us as a congregation to get there. I don't want to be there by myself, even though I'll be there by myself, and I don't want you to be there by yourself. I want us to let each other know we're on the same boat. We're of the same skin. We're one of those. We're together in this thing. That's where we are. So they said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Wouldn't you like to have been in that little revival? That'd have been a good one, wouldn't it? And the people did according to this promise. Thank God for people who make a promise and keep it. So many promises have been made in a time of hurt and pain. God, I'll do this. And it never seems to get there. Shame on us, right? Because we come under the same category as these people who were taken from these people. Selfishness was the problem. I don't want to be selfish. Either in the keeping or the taking. I don't want to be there. Do you? Let's bow our heads. You see, if the Lord had just halfway did his job at Calvary, he wouldn't have been able to say, "It is finished." And I can tell you this, unless that's where we are, that we want to finish the job. We want it to be thorough. We want it to be complete. We want to help everybody that we possibly can. Unless we're there, unless we're declaring the full gospel of Jesus Christ, we won't be heard. The world doesn't want to see a halfway job. They want to see a complete job. You see, we're representing God in everything that we do. We need to be thorough. Our God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of being in your word, for the privilege of hearing the truth that will change our lives, that will make us a better people tomorrow, and that we in turn can help someone see a better life. And we're going to thank you for that, because you're such a good God. You gave everything. You gave your only begotten Son, that if a person would believe in him, they would not have to perish and go to hell, but they could have everlasting life. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for not being selfish and keeping everything you had in heaven. You gave it all up. Thank you. And I pray that each person's needs will be met in this congregation today, and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, please. And while we stand, we're going to sing a verse of this song. 354. 354. If you'd like to turn to that, let's sing a verse of that together, would you? And this is decision time, folks. If you need to make a decision, you can do it right where you are. You can. But if you want to make that public, you can. It doesn't, either way, just make the decision, whatever you want to make. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, that cannot be kept in the closet. You need to make that openly. I surrender all. I surrender all. All. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. That is not selfish. Amen? That is not. I pray that we get there closer and closer and closer until we can honestly say in our hearts, we're not a selfish person. We're not a selfish church. We're not going to keep, and we're not going to take. We're going to give. Amen? That's good stuff. Amen? That's good stuff. Good stuff. See you at 6 o'clock, okay? And if you're going to sing, you get right on in here. If you have an accompaniment tape or something or a CD, bring it on in here and let them know what you're going to do. Or if you're going to have a pianist, do that also, and we'll sing together, and you'll get blessed. I promise you, it'll bless your heart tonight, okay? Let's bow our heads, and Jimmy, would you dismiss us, please? Amen. Let Jimmy and Andrew